Welcome to Minority Corner.
With an EK.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only more black, gay.
And ladylike.
Better work it, girl.
Got all the gossip because I'm a lady.
I got it too because I'm a gay guy. And if you...
Okay.
Shiny tomato.
Yeah, all right.
I tried my best.
You did. You really did. This week on Minority Corner.
What do you got for us, Princess of Nubia?
I'm talking about other Nubian princesses rocking it out with some science.
Okay. I was like, wow, how did I know that you're talking about Nubian princesses?
Well,
like,
black ladies.
Okay, which that's what they are. Let's call a spade a spade. You see a black woman, you say, hello, Nubian princess.
Is that too much? If you know the black lady and you're familiar and friendly with that black lady, yes.
But if you don't know her, it's a bit much to just run up to her.
It's a lot.
She's grocery shopping, you're like, hey, Nubian princess.
Yeah, don't do that.
How you doing?
Even if another black lady did that to me, I would be like, who
it's
are
a
you?
Much.
What's going on?
It's your new secret greeting. Well, I am not talking about Nubian princesses.
What are you talking about then?
I'm talking about there's a Bay Area casting notice from a very prominent theater organization that's been going around. Mm. And I'm talking about, sure, it's racist, but it's not the only one.
I'm interested.
So I'm doing a Bay Area casting lockdown.
And it is like a Bay Area institution.
And it is. And we're gonna look at this and how this actually is probably just going across the country. So I got you.
You got all the actors and actresses of color.
Let's break it down. So shall we get into it?
Let's do it.
Let's go, my Nubian princess. And I can say that because I know you.
Would you then be a Nubian prince?
Thank you.
Ooh.
About time you admitted it. Our voices are hurting right now.
Well, yours is. Mine is fresh and
bullshit.
Luxurious and beautiful.
Aneke was out. You've done better.
Okay.
Okay. Because Aneke showed up at my front doorstep, so wasted.
I'm a little, just a teeny bit hungover. I went to go see James's show last night.
She did. Aneke, and I had like the biggest, I was so much love. I had so many of my family members, my brother, cousins.
Yes. So
my mom.
You had your crew.
It was like an entourage of folks.
It was
like,
a crew.
Loving the James.
And to like much applause when he came out after the end of, like, we all waited in the front for him to come and like greet his fans, and it was like a cheering squad.
That was pretty awesome.
Also, shout out to James's family, who is the biggest supporters of Minority Corner of my life.
They were like, oh my god, like my cousin Chad and Jennifer, first of all, because they're like they think that I think they don't listen, and they were like, just to prove it wrong, and they were like, they were nerding out over Aneke.
It was so sweet.
They were
sweet.
Like, oh my god, it's Aneke, and it's her husband Andrew.
It was so sweet.
They were like
the sweetest people. Your mom was there, sweetest person.
I'm gonna put you on the spot. Did you like the show?
Me? Yes, I love the show. Like, no, it was terrible.
You're like, don't do this online. Not here.
Why?
Not right now. Why would you bring this up right now?
You know that you put me on the spot because I literally, the first thing I said to you was like, I love the show.
Yeah, it was so, I'm glad you guys came out and had a good time.
Oh my god, it was so much fun. Brought my friends.
I have notes for future installments, but you know, we'll
as you do.
As you do.
You gotta stay on top of your shit.
I want to give a loving support. My family's so awesome. They hung out, so this is at Club Oasis. The show is at 7, wrapped around 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got drinks there. The whole bar staff like was just so appreciative, like to meet my family.
Aww.
And like my brother loves Oasis. He was talking to like Heclina and Darcy, who like own it.
Yes,
he's like, this is a great establishment y'all have. He's like, this is great. He brought his like fire department friends to the show.
Hell yeah,
this is like a drag show. Like it's
I love that your brother does not get like starstruck like I do.
No, my brother's just like,
because
hey,
I talked
hey,
to Darcy for 2 seconds and I was like, oh my god, I love the show. I do Minority Corner. Okay, goodbye.
They love
Hell
you.
Of embarrassed. Couldn't even say hello to Heclina because I was like, that's Heclina over there. I'm just going to stand over here. I'm just like a nerdy weirdo. But I have to give shout out to Nancy, who's in
Nancy
the show.
Friend.
Straight up so sweet, came up and like, she's the one that was the performer and was like amazing.
And she is a San Francisco institution.
The house down.
Yeah, they love her. As Debbie,
so good. Came up and said like hello to me.
Of course, people love you.
No.
And the family hung out. Like, so we went to go get crepes.
Yeah.
I got to show them like my world.
I love that.
The crepe guy who harasses me, but in a funny sort of older father way. And
that sounds.
Every
fun.
Time I come up, he's like, "We're closed."
Oh my
he's
god! Kidding.
And then he won't give me my goddamn crepe, and he kept doing that to me and my family. And then
he has jokes.
He does jokes for days. Let's get him on the podcast. Maybe he'll give us some free crepes.
I'm into that. I love me crepes some
crepes. Crepes a go-go. Get a little shout out. If you're in San Francisco, 11th and Folsom.
Get the crepe with the Nutella.
Crepes a go-go. Or the number 3 special with sour
sour cream? Gross.
Good. No, you don't even... You don't even know what okay. it is. It's cheese and ground beef and bell pepper. I digress.
Okay.
But my family all hung out. They hung out. Like, we went back to Club Oasis. It was Dolly Parton night. Mm. We went on the rooftop. And my family, I was, like, feeling bad because usually for Mother, it's, mm-hmm. like, you know, Beyonce or Rihanna night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Dolly Parton night. And I said to my family, I was like, oh, I'm sorry, y'all. It's Dolly Parton night. And my cousin was like, no, I was afraid we were going to miss this.
Exactly. And I want to point out that... It's a big misconception that black people don't like country. Many of us don't, but we love some Dolly Parton.
What? This is news to me.
One, she's soulful as hell.
Okay, it's
two,
true.
Her weave and wig game is on point.
On point, that's true.
And three, she fucking sang the Whitney Houston song. It's actually her song.
It's her song. And she was hella smart because, like, Whitney was like, hey, I want to sing this. And she was like, sure, darling. Mm. Royalties.
Exactly.
Dolly Parton made hella bank every time that song was getting played.
Exactly.
Hella money.
And she wrote that song, so she got soul.
Yeah, it's true. I do, last thing I want to say, my mom,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be her new momager.
Okay, here we go.
I want my mom to be a new faux queen in the drag community.
Ooh.
And because I think my mom is already a performer.
Yeah, she is.
And I think she would slay
at
Club Oasis in this community. And you put some backup dancers behind her.
Yes.
And you put like some fierce drag makeup on her. My mom.
Yes.
Would slay.
Shut
so
the
I'm
house
gonna, like,
down.
I'm going to be her new like momager.
Do it.
I'm going to momager my mom.
Oh, that's meta.
So I'm going to like sonager her. Like I'm going to. Okay. Put in all these little skimpy outfits.
Oh, you need to.
I'm gonna like
go work
create
her
all
out.
This like crazy danceography and everything.
Yes,
I'm like, you need to hit it hard. Hit it hard, Sydney.
I will be right there because she was one our number one supporter for Minority Corner.
She is now. She figured out how to make it work. Welcome, Mom.
And two, she is a fierce ass performer, and I love it, and I am down for it.
Yeah. So,
and I used fierce, even though I told myself that I wouldn't use that word anymore. But it applies.
I think for my mom, it'll apply.
It applies.
Because she's catching up, so.
Can I talk about a little family? We have, like, a little family corner
a
right
family
now.
Family corner. Everybody are getting all the dish. Family time.
So, my cousin Taylor.
Who I met, and she's wonderful.
She
I
was
met
at the wedding.
She's, like, she's wonderful.
Shout out to Taylor. You up in San Diego, being cute and wonderful.
Technically down, but that's fantastic.
She, oh, yeah, that's right. Well, she's up in it.
Oh, I see.
She's all
I feel
up
like in.
In
Northern California, we forget that directions actually mean
we
something.
We don't even know what's
we're
going
like,
on.
We're like, oh, I'm going up there, but we're going to, like, Mexico.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'm just going up to Colombia.
We just like going up to places.
Because that's what we do. We go up.
We go up. So she Snapchatted me because she's hip like that, and I'm old Mother Hubbard and don't know anything about Snapchat.
I always assume dick pics, but
no. It's just communication.
What?
So she sent me a picture of her listening to Quantico, or watching Quantico.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, watching this because of Minority Corner.
Yes. Taylor, that made my day.
See, I knew you like that.
We gotta get some royalty checks when Quantico blows up. I'm 2 episodes away from finishing.
I haven't watched it yet.
And you know what? Back to Quantico. She had a decision to choose between love and her career, and she chose love.
Why are you telling me this? Because I haven't even watched it.
But you don't know when that happens. And actually, she then changed her mind.
Oh.
Well, not really. Then there was this huge... I won't
okay,
say any much.
You're digressing.
Okay.
But shout out to Taylor,
thank
who
you
is
for listening.
And also following in James's footsteps and not your cousin's and watching Homeland, but
need to
whatever.
Watch Cry McCry Face.
Whatever. Watch Quantico. Tell me how it goes.
I think her Snapchat speaks for itself, really. Instead of sending you some random dick pics, your cousin sent you a picture of her watching Quantico.
I would worry. I would be like, did you get hacked if she sent me something like that?
If your cousin randomly sent you random dick pics on Snapchat?
Like,
well, I learned something new today.
What did you learn?
you can use Snapchat for other things than dick pics. So
yeah,
that's
all
great.
My friends send me things of like pictures of Jeopardy and pictures of like
just
you know,
watching TV.
Yeah, well, like if a contestant looks like somebody,
like Danity Kane was sure. Don was Don. No. Was Don's old face on Jeopardy?
Don's old face is now my face. Is my current face.
I'm lost in the matrix of Don's faces from Danny Kane. Don, bring your new ass face over here. And
what's she doing right now?
Not punching other members of her girl band.
Did you hear that? You'll love this news.
Okay.
Nobody else will love this news.
Okay.
But Aubrey and what's the other?
Aubrey O'Day and Shannon.
Or Blonde on Blonde.
Oh, at first they were called Two Dumb Blonde Girls or something.
Now it's Blonde on Blonde.
They just keep changing it up. They just keep changing it up.
I like how they had to separate themselves from the women of color from Danity Kane.
First, in their defense.
All right.
Don punched one of them in the back of the head.
Well, Don was getting used to her face.
And Dee Woods, like nobody.
She's too busy drawing bad cartoons.
Dee Woods was the Michelle of, you know.
Aww.
It's true. No one wanted to be Dee Woods. Me and my friends were all casting ourselves as Danity Kane. And then my friend Carla was like, why I gotta be Dee Woods?
Because Dee
And then ironically, he was the only one to not, when they got reunited.
Yeah.
He was out of the five of us, he was the only one to not get invited to the lunch we went to. And the same thing happened in real life.
That's
and he was the
rude.
Only,
why
he
did
was
you guys?
He just wasn't there. He wasn't really part of the crew. I was Dawn.
What? So we're the same?
Exactly. That's weird.
Isn't I know. It?
Last thing I want to speaking of new music, okay. Lady Gaga has a new song out.
Perfect illusion.
Perfect illusion.
It was a lie. It was a lie.
Sounds just like that. Mm-hmm. What I like is like Gaga's return back to form. She's the production's like more simplified.
It is.
And it reminds me of like, it's like, It reminds me of two things. One, at first, I was like, it's kind of like a Journey song.
You're a little bit, because it's a soaring rock song.
And you know what it actually really is?
What?
It could be just right off of Gem and the Holograms.
Ooh.
It's actually just a Gem and the Holograms song, because it's just like one word that just gets repeated again and again and again. Misfits in Hawaii. Who is he kissing? Who is he kissing? You, Gem.
Are you my father?
And just repeats over. I think so. I'm assuming Gaga's new album is just going to be Gem and the Holograms.
I'm living for that. If she does a whole Gem and the Holograms tribute, I'm down. Also, the track was produced by Mark Ronson, who did Uptown Funk.
Oh,
and
he's got
Tame
range.
Impala.
He's got range.
Mm-hmm. They're really good. He also worked a lot with Amy Winehouse, so that's probably Ooh. Why there was a little bit of more vocal.
And like, I think that's the thing that people forget. Like, Gaga's actually like, she's not just like some pop starlet. Girl got a voice.
She can sing.
She got a voice. Remember, she held her own when Christina Aguilera replaced R. Kelly on
Do With My Body.
Do My Body. Wait, that's not. Do My Body. That's not. Do What You Want With My Body or something. And what I love is that Christina Aguilera always has to plug the voice when she comes on, because she's always like, my voice, my body. Like, the song is called It's my body, which is like, but my voice, you're touching my voice and my body.
On Embassy.
9 p.m., I'm a judge sometimes. Sometimes it's Shakira, my body, Gaga. And Gaga's just like, can we get on with the song, please? But anyways, Gaga is back, true to form.
She is.
Even the album cover is just like her just in like some Daisy Dukes.
You know what? I'm happy with that, because I'm kind of sick of her shit with like weird meat dress and like blind dress shit. Just be simple,
I feel
lady.
Like I'm seeing Stephanie.
Who's Stephanie? Oh, Germanotti or whatever. Yeah,
that's her actual name.
I thought it was Stefanotti or something crazy.
I'm just going to call her Steph.
Hey, Steph.
Hey, Steph. Steph, love your new song.
She's going through a breakup right now, too, so.
Well, join the club, sweetheart. But this song it's my new anthem. It just feels really.
It wasn't love. It wasn't love.
Well, speaking of love, shall we get to your Nubian love princess corner?
It's Stop kind of not that, that but oh. Sure, we'll go, yes.
I will be sorely disappointed in the next corner. But then, interested, amused, and a little turned on.
I like all of those things. James just did another... Don't,
what?
When you dance, count me in. I don't know what to do.
Oh, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I don't, what?
You
am I go, do I do a shuffle kick right now?
You need to follow your impulses in your heart and your dreams.
And you kind of said it to yourself, too. Oh.
It's so I know when to press go. Where are we?
We are in Lady Black Scientist Changing the World Corner.
They used to be Nubian princesses, but now they're just regular scientist ladies with hearts and emotions and science brains. My body! Christina got in this shit.
Yes.
The Voice! Embassy!
Okay. I'm a judge! Okay, so I want to, one, positivity in the world.
Love
we need
it.
To talk about this, because you know what sucks? Cancer. Cancer fucking sucks. I'm sick of cancer. Cancer's been like all over the place lately in the news, in my family,
friends.
And everything.
We're in that
friends.
Age now where like friends are getting it.
So we need to get our shit together and get rid of cancer. And you know who's doing that?
Fergie.
Nope.
Wasn't she doing it with her Lady Lovely Hump song? That song was about breast cancer awareness.
We are not talking about Fergie in this.
Okay, sorry. Check it out.
No!
Lovely Lady Lumps. Check it out. That song was about breast cancer awareness.
She also has a new... No, we're not talking about Fergie. You almost got me. You almost got me. You know I'm a slave to pop culture.
I know. MILF money.
Whew, yes, that's what I was going to talk about, and it's terrible. Anyway.
Okay, we're back. We're back.
Dr. Hadia Nicole Green is one of the fewer than 100 black female physicists out in the world. So there are
fewer than 100.
There is less than 100 black female physicists in the world. And she is one of them.
Wow.
And the reason why I'm talking about her is because she just recently won $1.1 million in grants to develop a technology that she is pioneering.
Congratulations. That's fantastic.
And do you know what it is?
What?
It is laser-activated nanoparticles that treat cancer.
Wow, that's like some like Star Wars, like, like that's like, you know, Star Wars technology.
Isn't that crazy?
That's how they would solve it in Star Wars.
It's fucking crazy. So basically, I think what it does is they aim a laser. So they put something, I want to say bubbles. I could be wrong.
Wait, I'm sorry. There's a laser bubble shooter that's going to cure cancer? This sounds amazing and fun.
Well, basically, so and I could be wrong because the article doesn't say it, but I read about it before. And so they insert bubbles that go around the tumor, the cancer cells, and the laser activates the bubbles to move super fast that cause the cancer cells to burst.
This is amazing. It's giving me a little Sailor Moon action.
Yes.
Release the bubbles and a little bit of, you know, Star Wars action in it too.
Yes.
You know, it makes sense. And they do say that, like, with your businesses, when we talk about the importance of diversity in these fields is because you have different people of different backgrounds who are going to think about things differently.
Yes.
Because if you just get a room of straight white dudes from, like, the same community together in a room, they are so similar that their ways of thinking are going to be very similar too. So
yes,
they're not going to be able to think outside the box because they are all in the same sort of box.
Yes, so diversity helps your mind be diverse. That helps other... I don't know
approaches.
What it's like to be a Mexican woman in Mexico City.
You don't.
So I would love to have an opinion from somebody who's outside of who I am.
So
you know?
She would have like a different approach. Or same thing, what's my friend? What is her name? Who's Gladys? What was her?
What are you? I don't.
My black lesbian in a wheelchair.
Oh, God.
I mean, where is she? Bring her to the table.
She has an opinion.
She has an opinion, ideas, and approaches. I love that I finally got you on board with her.
You wore me down.
Yes. What would Gladys do?
Let's talk a little bit about Dr. Green. So Dr. Green lost her parents when she was young, and she was raised by her aunt and uncle. Very Spider-Man-esque.
Yeah.
While still at school, her aunt died from cancer.
Damn.
Which is even sadder. And 3 months later, her uncle was diagnosed with cancer, too.
Damn.
Fucking cancer. Fuck cancer.
Cancer Monster was after them.
So Dr. Green went on, she then went on to earn a degree in physics at Alabama A&M, where she was also crowned homecoming queen.
Damn.
So not only is she up in that laboratory, she's up in that fucking...
She's kind of doing it all.
Mm-hmm.
She's like the original work bitch.
She is.
At a very young age, she came out work bitching.
Yes, like Britney. So just to
Britney inspired
just
her
so people
to do it. People are
don't
like, "What's
think
a
that
work?"
Word. I know.
Oh yeah, this is a quote. And you know, yeah, just to quote Britney, who also I have this T-shirt that says, "Go call the police, go call the governor."
Okay.
And people are like, "What is that?" And like, it's a Britney Spears quote.
Yeah.
And they're
go
like,
"Go call the police."
But I think they thought of
go
it like more
governor.
Like in political action. Like
oh,
she
no.
was like, "Go call the police, go call the governor."
Mm-mm.
She's like, "Go call the police, go call the governor."
It's just Britney. Bitch. So, okay. So after she won Homecoming Queen and after she got her degree in physics at Alabama A&M, she got a full scholarship to the University of Alabama in Birmingham to earn her master's and PhD.
Pretty fucking fantastic.
Right? And so there, that's how she learned how to deliver nanoparticles into cancer cells. This is how it works. She learned how to deliver nanoparticles into the cancer cells. And then the laser is then used to remove the nanoparticles with the cancer cells. So essentially what I said, bubbles vibrating until the cancer cells burst.
Amazing.
And she successfully carried this out on living animals.
Wow.
So this is beyond concept. This is like actual practice in doing it, and it works.
Nice.
So not only is she doing this shit, curing cancer, being homecoming queen, being fucking boss, getting $1.1 million in grant money, getting her fucking scholarship to a university that used to not allow black people in it.
Yeah.
She
and still being a Nubian princess on top of all that. Still
being a Nubian princess. She also makes trips to the Boys and Girls Clubs to speak to the young kids.
Which is amazing, because then these kids are, she's like, hey, I just cured cancer. And they're like, damn, I want to be her.
Exactly.
I want to be a physicist.
Right? She has a quote. She goes, young black girls don't see those role models, scientists, as often as they see Beyonce or Nicki Minaj. Mm-hmm. Which is true. We're not knocking Beyonce and Nicki Minaj. We just got a lot of y'all, and we need some black lady scientists out there.
True.
She goes, it's important to know that our brains are capable of more. So I just wanted to point it out. Give some props to
this
fucking Dr.
This is huge
Dr.
and big. And also, Green. On top of this, not only is she a black woman, but we're looking at the cure for cancer right here,
mm-hmm.
which is
a different
approach that isn't just poisoning people.
Right.
That there are other different approaches. Like, I went to watch this documentary that, like, it's possible that you could, like, there's a myth about, like, oh, if you take too many vitamins, it'll be bad for you. But that's actually, there's been no cases of anybody dying from having too many vitamins.
Right.
And that there's a possible cure of, like, overloading your body with, like, we're talking about, like a million cc's. I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but I did watch Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah,
but you can pump yourself with a million cc's of, like, a vitamin C and, like, treatments
of that.
You just
pee it out.
And treatments of that, that, like, and like, the same way that you'd put so much radiation into your body, you'd put that much vitamin C into your body.
Mm.
The upside is the vitamin C is not poisonous to you, whereas the radiation
is. It's super poisonous.
And so finding different methods and practices. And it's great having other people with diverse ways of thinking and approaches to get in here and bust up this, you know, good old boys
medicine. Yeah, it's time to add some more opinions up into the mix so we can get some better cures out there.
You know they don't want that.
Mm-mm. Look how pretty she is, though.
Oh, she's gorgeous and young. I'd vote for her as homecoming queen. In fact, I'm going to go to my neighboring school,
mm-hmm.
Mission High.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go pick up a bunch of ballots.
Yes.
And I'm going to go write her in.
Wait, she's beyond that, though.
I don't care. I think that she needs to continue winning homecoming queen because she's so dope.
She's the homecoming queen of her country.
She is. We're going to nominate her right now, and we're going to take a vote. All those in favor?
I.
All opposed? All right, you did
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
She just now became the homecoming
Dr.
queen.
Hadia Nicole Green.
Officially Nubian homecoming queen of the U.S. Congrats, lady.
We're proud of you. I don't know if we're on or not. Are we on?
We're on.
Oh, okay.
I was looking at you. I gave you a look. First of all, last time you were like, I don't like you counting at me. And so I'm just going to look at you. Is that, what do you want from me, woman? What do you
know.
Want?
I don't know. I'm so confused.
Are my lady titties not pointy enough for you?
That was all up in the show that James was in, and it was exciting and new.
I play a thug lady character,
mm-hmm.
a lady thug, if you will.
And she's cold.
She's also from Europa.
And she has cold ass nippies.
I had big, big pointy titties in the show last night. Okay, so what I want to talk about.
What are we talking about? That's what I want.
I am an actor.
You are an actor.
And I want to talk about, there's a casting notice. So I want to talk about casting,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this theater company, this San Francisco institution, give you all a little bit of a background.
Yes.
It's called Beach Blanket Babylon. It's one of the world's longest running musical review shows, and it's here in San Francisco.
Yes.
It's down in North Beach area.
Yep.
And they pretty much, they spoof pop culture. They have like, you know, big costumes.
Giant hats.
Giant hats.
That's like, what they're known for.
It's just really big over the top, and they update the show as like different popular cultural icons come into that.
Right.
With that being said, as you can sort of imagine, well, with that being said, here's their casting notice that just went out, and it's going to give you an idea of what they're looking for when they're casting.
Okay, yes.
So they posted this casting notice. It says, "All ethnicities are welcome to audition."
Yay!
"Historically, we have used performers whose facial features make them appear conventionally Caucasian."
Oh.
"So if you fit this description..."
No.
"Please send us your information."
God damn it.
"If you don't, your amazing voice and stage presence could change our minds."
Great.
"So please send us your information."
Oh, thanks.
What does that say to you, Aneke?
That says, hey, black people, work hard. And maybe we'll give you a chance.
Oh my God. It literally comes back to that we have to work twice as hard mm-hmm. to get half as much.
And I shouldn't even just say black people, because I was just thinking myself.
Right.
Anybody who's not conventionally Caucasian looking.
Right. So Beach Blanket Babylon, again, they've been around for like so incredibly long. They're an institution.
Yes.
And they put this casting notice. But here's the thing. Like, everyone is wagging their finger at, like, I can't believe you did this, Beach Blanket Babylon.
But this is...
So here's the thing. How is this actually different from, I would say, what most theater companies in the Bay Area are already doing?
Exactly.
The only difference is... they were transparent about it.
They said it.
They publicly put it out there, and their very attempt at trying to be PC in the way that they did it, they at least were just kind of very honest, because here's what would happen. Had they not posted this, folks are going to come out to the casting anyways, and then they're still not going to cast in their shows, because at the basis of it, there's no roles in their shows for people of color.
Yeah, that's the weird thing about casting. It's so... image and race and all that base. Even Kanye just recently posted a casting call for his new clothing collection and said only mixed race women apply.
Mm-hmm.
Which everybody was like, what?
Because it's not, you know, ooh, mixed race is so, you know, beautiful.
Yeah, whatever.
Right? And so, and like, I, you know, I'm even, I mean, I'm
I mean, I don't say whatever. Everybody's beautiful.
Right. But I'm even part, I, but going back to this, it's like, I'm even part of a theater company or an organization that is, I've been a part of organizations that are guilty of this.
Right.
I can think of like one company in particular that I've been working with. I think they've maybe in the past year and a half casted three folks of color, two black folks, myself included, and one Asian person.
And it,
what happens if you're doing productions that are, you know, spoofing television series,
right,
which are, and you're trying to cast it to a T just like that,
right,
you're going to limit
the who you can cast.
And here's the thing, we have a black Hermione in the West End right now.
In a huge theater production that's humongous.
Hugely successful. Look at Hamilton.
Like, right.
Here's the thing. Your audiences are smart enough to be able to if I can buy a man playing a woman, or if I can buy this story that's happening in front of my eyes on a stage.
Exactly.
The very idea of theater is to remind the audience it's a play.
We all know
we're
that.
Telling a story.
Alexander Hamilton was not from Puerto Rico.
Yeah. But like, and I know that like these stories that are happening right in front of my face, that it's not really happening. We're just telling a story.
It's called suspending belief.
Exactly. And that's one of the beautiful things I think about theater. And if your audience is like, first of all, I think your audiences are smart enough to be challenged in that way.
Exactly.
Secondly, if they're not, that's their own racist issues that they need to get over.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, you know, I think that, you know, this is happening. And I think that in New York, which I love my San Francisco, but I'm excited to go back to New York because I think they're willing to take more challenges in casting.
Mm.
For instance, I just did, you know, two shows in New York.
Yes.
And the, you know, straight white the straight white writer cast me as the lead in his, you know, this dramatic piece that I know when he was writing, he didn't think, you know, James.
Right.
But he's seen my work, he saw my talent, and he knew I could bring it to life.
Exactly. It's about the talent, not the person.
And like, yeah, and I think like if you are recasting something, what an interesting thing that person who isn't that can bring to it. They can bring a different color or light to it. Even if you are doing, you know, a TV parody of some sort, right?
Right.
Like, anybody can play, you know, different roles, right?
Exactly. Like, I feel like I can do a better impression of, I don't know, Britney Spears or whatever compared to Chaka Khan. So, like, does that make me not valid to do an impression of Britney Spears just because I'm a black woman? No, but if I could do a good job, people will get it.
Absolutely. Except in the case if we do 227, you need to keep it all black.
Oh.
Mary.
The show?
The show 227.
You are bringing it.
Or if we do Living Singles.
We are living.
Have we talked about this before?
I don't know if we talked about Living Singles.
We had to have. But a lot of these people want. So I used to say that Living Singles was the black version of Friends. But the same characters.
Oh, yeah.
Same character tropes. There's, like, you know, the
ditzy one. The businesswoman.
You can connect. In fact, I was at a party and we drunkenly did connected a map of it. This and connected this. But did you know Living Singles came out first? So technically,
Friends is the white version of Living Single.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound weird, everybody? I'm so sick of people being like, so I was watching, this is a side note, but it goes along with the whole race thing.
Yeah.
So Tytus Burress, who is on the
Irresistible, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Exactly.
Love that show.
He's the best.
He's great.
And so he was on Colbert. And there it was a good little interview or whatever. And then he talked about how he learned how to play piano when he taught himself how to play piano when he was 9.
Mm-hmm.
And Colbert was like, you're the black Mozart. Why can't I'm sick of that. Can he just be, oh, you're like Mozart?
Yeah, why does it have to be like this other,
like, well, you're the black blah blah blah. Yeah. The black this. Nobody's like, oh, you're the white blah blah blah. Nobody says that.
No, like you're the white Shakira. You're the white Janet Jackson.
Nobody's ever said that.
You're the white Beyonce.
Who
girls
said that?
Try. Girls be trying. I see you. Okay. So if, for those of you who are directors, producers, actors, or even patrons of the arts,
yes,
if
that's
you
me.
Can think back to like the last year of the theater company that you frequent the most.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can think back to their season and you can count the amount of people of color that you've seen on those stages, the fact that you can even count them, we got a problem.
Exactly.
We have a problem. So here's the things that I want to challenge folks with. So, and like you're thinking like, what's the solution or things to think about? Like, think about doing work that lets artists of color know that your theater company is even a place for them.
Yeah,
right?
Invitation.
So, doing shows that, like, you know, maybe tell their stories or opening up your castings in different ways that, like, challenge the way that you had a preconceived idea.
Yeah.
Because the things are, like, we're so stuck in this loop, you know? If you're only seeing folks of color as, like, the best friend or the sidekick.
Right.
Like, or not even at all. You're just like, oh, I don't see where you would fit into this story. Challenge that.
Challenge it.
So, and with that, you know, challenge traditional ways of casting. I said this before, I believe your audiences are smart enough to buy into that. Like, if you have a family and you decide to do non-traditional casting of it, like the
right.
mom is Asian and then the son is, you know, black and the dad is white, like, it's okay. The audience is going to go along with the
story.
They
will get it going. The whole part of performance is to take you on a journey, and people will be, as an audience member, you will go along with it. And if you have a hard time going along with it, you need to kind of check yourself.
And, like, I think in film, I can see where it's a little bit more challenging to do so. But in theater, like, you can do whatever the fuck you want. That's the fun of it.
Right.
It's really the fun of the ride of it. So have some more fun with this. And you're also saying something, and you're giving other actors opportunities they would not have been able to have, right?
Exactly.
Let's stop just giving, you know, straight white dudes these opportunities again and again and again. Otherwise, there's going to be no work for the rest of us.
Right.
And also, you need to do outreach to get these artists of color there to your theaters and to your auditions. It's going to take a little bit of legwork, because if you haven't been doing work that lets them know that your production company or your theater is a space for them, they're not just going to show up, right? So you got to do outreach. You got to go out there and you got to find them and let them know that there's a space for them.
It's so true. I appreciate all of these facts because they seem common place to us, me and you, but why are we still falling into this trap?
Exactly. And I think, you know, San Francisco applauds itself as, you know,
being
the spirit of 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in 60s. Some ways you're still stuck there and you need to move on. It's 2016, y'all. We got a black Hermione. So I'm just gonna leave that. And like, so how does this different, and sometimes some people might say like, oh, but you know, when Hamilton was casting, they said non-white actors.
It's going against the norm.
That's the point, is they were trying to create something. They were trying to create this.
Exactly.
And they just had to put out in writing for this.
I have to give this one statistic that I heard that from a casting director. When you are feeling a fake audience and you want it to be a diverse audience, they said that if you want it to look like it's 50% white, 50% black, you have to make it 70% white, 30% black. Otherwise, a white audience will feel uncomfortable.
Oh, wow.
So we need to check ourselves. Because clearly with that statistic alone,
right,
something is not right.
Something is not right. We need to challenge all of that. So there are some shows in the Bay Area that are actually challenging this.
Ooh.
So I want to point them out. Get them on your radar, y'all. The first is called Typecast. So it's Type/Cast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually by it's a one-man show at the Brava Theater by Rotimi. Rotimi is a friend of mine. I'm going to butcher your last name. Rotimi Agabaka.
You're friends with him, too?
Well, we never use each other's last names.
All right, that I'll give you that.
He actually brought this casting notice to my attention. He posted it on Facebook.
I love it.
He was actually, I replaced him in the original Shit and Champagne. He's done some work with the SF Mime Troupe. I actually did a commercial with him about, like, HIV awareness. And, like, we played best friends. And he was like, you better get tested or something silly.
Oh, okay.
But then, of course, it was, like, two young black men in the
HIV
commercial.
So it's like, come on, thanks,
but at the same time, we are also, like,
we
have the higher demographic.
Let's target
numbers,
the population.
Okay,
right.
I get it. That check cleared. and so he's doing this show. It's a one-man show. And it is about, it's an expose about the prejudices that he faces in show business as a queer black man from Nigeria.
Ooh, this sounds good.
Yeah, so that's opening up here very soon here.
And I'm getting the play on words because cast as in caste system.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a smart man.
Mm-hmm.
He once said... he said that he walked into a casting director's office and that they said, the first thing I saw when I looked at you was gangster.
Ew!
But they were saying that as, like, when they're trying to tell, like, his type.
That makes
and, like,
my
if
body
you met
cringe.
Rotimi, like, he would be the, like, he think he's very talented and he could pull it off. But he's not, would not be.
Y'all, that's how they see us.
I've actually turned down, like, you know, my agent, I had to turn down some things. I was like, I don't want to play this, you know, gangster from Louisiana.
Yeah.
It's just not.
And also, I mean, if you're doing that for your career, I'm not knocking it.
Right.
But we shouldn't be always typecast into those types of things.
We can do other things, y'all.
Hello.
But that's how they just continuously pigeonhole us and put us in these parts. There's another show called White Guy on the Bus.
Okay.
It's by Philadelphia playwright Bruce Graham.
Okay.
It's now on stage at the Flight Deck.
Oh,
and it follows.
That's in Oakland.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it follows Ray, who's played by, Steve Roxerode.
Okay. We'll never give him names here.
Who's a white man and meets Shatiqua.
Oh, no.
Who's played by Michelle Taylor. And here's the synopsis. She's a black woman on the bus, and he asks her aid with a sinister but unsustainable deed. Oh, okay. So she's a black woman.
Okay.
On the bus.
Yes.
And asks her aid with a sinister but understandable deed.
What is that? What is it, like, smuggle some drugs?
I don't know.
What is happening?
He only makes an offer. He doesn't coerce her. But the mere fact of his vast advantage means he might as well be blackmailing her.
What
is this? How can she say no when he knows about the specific hell of her poverty
what?
And has the means to alleviate it? So that's what's happening on White Guy on a Bus. The synopsis is terrible. I got this from the Bay Area Reporter.
Bay Area Reporter.
This writing is
and then
terrible.
Also,
what's going on?
I don't know
story?
About. I mean, I'm glad that the black woman is in it, but I'm scared
so
for
many
her.
Questions.
I'm scared.
What did he ask her to do on that bus?
I know that.
Why does she have to do it? She's poor and black, and
a woman.
And
he's blackmailing her. Like, is he using, like, does he know stuff about her, or does
what is this bus ride, and how long are they on the bus together for?
I don't talk to people when I'm on the bus.
Stay off the bus, black ladies. Go to your physicist classes and stay off the bus.
Or do what I do and put your headphones on, even if you got no music playing.
Yeah, listen to
and then point to
the, oh, can't hear you.
I can't hear you.
And study that physicist podcast while you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few more that maybe aren't as crazy. Crowded Fire is coming production of The Shipment by a Korean-American playwright, Young Sung Jin Lee.
Yes.
Berkeley Rep has The Last Tiger in Haiti by Jeff Augustin, who grew up in a Haitian community in Miami.
Ooh.
And there are actually three productions of Othello happening. We can't get enough of Othello.
Tired ass play.
At the Cal Shakes Marin Shakespeare Company. I'm not surprised. They always be touting that.
I don't know why people love Othello so much. It's just like angry black man kills
killing
a white
woman. Yeah. And I mean, I did see a, I did have a friend of mine. She's actually now, she's an Emmy nominated writer for the Samantha Bee Show, Ashley Black, who we're trying to get on the show.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Ashley.
She actually did a production of Othello in college, and she was doing it. She did it with a white guy playing Othello.
See, I love that. And the rest of everybody.
There is a commentary in blackface, and she was going to have him in blackface.
Whoa, that's
college.
Yay.
But instead, that guy actor dropped out at the last minute, and he got blacklisted from the theater company because he dropped out at the last minute.
I know. That's hard to do.
So then what they did is all the actors played the role of Othello. So all the white actors were putting on this black mask.
Oh, weird.
And it was interesting because it's like how they created this man, this image, this guy. Very interesting.
Blackface to me just gives like a visceral reaction to me, which obviously...
I think that was her point.
Yeah,
that she
wanted to. It's good to explore. I also think it would be interesting if somebody did a production of Othello where Othello was white and everybody else was black in the play.
That'd be interesting. White man kills black woman. Story of the world.
America.
All right, then the two last productions are happening at LGBT theater companies. Theater Rhinoceros is doing The Brother's Size. Theater Rhinoceros has been on for hella long, and I've seen some of their shit before, and I'm like, up, here we go. Gay men, just white gay men theaters, usually what I see. And sometimes it's very like Boys in the Band. If you don't know Boys in the Band, it's like one of the original gay productions that was done back in the 60s.
Oh, wow.
And it was sort of like, there used to be a lot of like self-hating gay plays of just like, we're gay and we're mean to each other and we're sad and we're kind of drunk. And so the show I saw at Theater Rhinoceros years ago was similar to that. And I was like, ugh, why are we doing this anymore?
Yeah.
But they're doing this other one.
Okay.
It's called, it features, so The Brother Size. It's about two brothers in the Louisiana Bayou. Oh. And it's sort of a West African mythology swirls together in this treasured theatrical event that will leave you breathless.
That sounds like a good turn of events.
Has a bunch of like music in it as well. And it's by...
Are the brothers black?
It's three black guys
good.
In the show.
Okay, I was gonna...
No, it was actually... they call each other brothers, but they're...
Oh,
white.
Brother.
No. Three black guys. And that's running from September 24th to October 15th. And last one, my lovely theater company that I've done so much work at and used to be staff member at, New Conservatory Theater Center.
NCTC.
Is doing a play called Leaving the Blues by very talented Jewel Gomez. She's a black lesbian writer here in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
It's about celebrated blues singer songwriter Alberta Hunter, and it's who was a lesbian, which she had complications with her sexuality. Not like, it sounds like her heart.
I know. Like, did she have surgery on it?
She should have.
No.
But I. And so it's about takes place like in the backstage and preparing for a professional comeback, knowing just how many doors to the past it may open. And the play takes place over like 60 years. I did the original table reading for this show.
Oh, wow.
It's very interesting. It takes place through a lot of different time periods.
Cool.
It talks about just like race and sexuality and womanhood and also artistry. And that opens up in March 3rd to April 2nd.
I love it.
There are some theater companies who are doing some interesting things. White Guy on the Bus. Kind of interesting.
That's a different type of interesting. I want to know. I'm confused and interested.
But to wrap it up, y'all continue doing some... Challenge your castings.
Challenge your casting.
And I'm not going to wag my finger at Beach Blanket Babylon because...
They're just doing what everybody else is doing.
What everybody else is doing. They just got caught up. They also issued an apology, but it was one of those like...
Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry if you got offended apology. And they had claimed... I have this from a trusted source.
Yeah.
They had claimed that they were in such a rush, they accidentally posted it, but apparently it's the same notice they had posted a year ago. So
got
caught up.
Where's the receipts? You got the receipts on that.
So that's that.
So everybody, just suspend your beliefs, enjoy a play,
and put some folks of color on your goddamn stages.
Well, there's actors out there that need the work.
Yes, like there are certain actors that like listen. We have to work twice as hard to even get noticed. That's what that's the frustrating thing about that casting notice. We have to work twice as hard just for you to even like look at us and then still not cast us.
They're basically like, hey, if you look white, you have an easier job. If you don't, come in and like set your head on fire and like make sure that we are impressed.
And we probably still won't even cast you. So, I'm going to cast you.
In my heart.
I was going to cast you in a production, but this is cheaper.
Okay.
So, never mind.
So, we have an awesome guest today.
Hi.
It's Carla Lee.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Super excited. It's been rumored that you're going to be on this podcast for like almost a year now.
Yeah.
Even kidding. I've been on pins and needles holding on to my butt for like a year and a half.
Better hold on to that butt.
Rumors of my appearance have been greatly exaggerated.
No.
They're all true. We're so excited to have you.
I'm so excited to be here. This is so cool, you guys.
Of course. Okay, yeah. So Carla, the three of us were all involved in the theater department at UCSC.
We were.
And now your story is so fucking fascinating to me because you literally went from not acting back into acting again.
Literally. That's exactly what happened.
Why did you fall out of acting?
I think a lot of it had to do with just the nature of acting professionally and feeling a little, apprehensive about finances, honestly. I was grappling with the whole, what am I going to do with my college degree thing? I actually was not a theater major. I was a politics major. So I had always kind of considered going to law school.
Yeah.
So I had an agent here in San Francisco. I was still living down in Santa Cruz. There was a lot of driving back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
And we all know gas ain't cheap.
Yes.
I was just kind of struggling with what I was going to do. So I took the LSAT, was thinking about going to law school.
I know, straight up in it.
I just was like, let's try. And then I was working at a law office for a while. And then actually through one of the women who was part of the agency I was with, I found out about a position at Apple that sounded interesting. Unrelated to law.
Total tech.
Unrelated to acting. Yeah, like in tech. And but there was a lot of, it had kind of a performative aspect. Because it was working at their corporate briefing center. So doing a lot like presentations in front of clients and stuff
that.
So I applied and wound up getting the job. And then I moved right into tech, which was like a completely different direction than I had ever anticipated I would go
into. That's where the money is.
Good job. And I was just like,
good call.
I have money for the first time.
Yeah.
That was like a hard thing to let go of. And also, you know, I was one of the onlys there. Like it was, it felt really great to be a black or brown woman in tech and to be representing and, you know, to be getting up there in front of clients and being in big business meetings and stuff like that. So, it was really interesting. And I was there for almost 6 years.
Wow. Damn, 6 years? I didn't even know
that. And I went from the business development end into like training and enablement for the teams at the retail store. So I moved into corporate retail, which was even a different direction than I thought I would ever
go
into. Yeah, but then I wound up getting married. I had my daughter, and then I just kind of and then I just kind of wanted to slow things down because I was commuting from the city back and forth all the time and traveling a lot. And so I just decided to spend time with my daughter. And then, you know, it's a funny thing about new motherhood for me was like you have this completely shifting identity of who you are and what you're doing and what your choices in life mean to you and their impact on your kids. So I was thinking to myself, you know, what is it that I really love? Like, what is it that I really want to get back to?
Yeah.
And the answer has always been comedy and it's always been acting. And so I just decided to, you know, I started slow, started taking improv classes again and getting back into that. But then I just decided at a certain point to go
for it.
Full force when she was a little bit older. And
I love it.
I could leave her at home by herself all day.
But yeah, it's just in a box.
What I love is that your child inspired you to get back to, because like a lot of times with people who are lost or confused about what to do with their life or are fucking miserable.
Totally,
right?
Totally.
And it goes back to like, well, what did you like doing as a kid?
Absolutely.
I say this to like all the listeners, like, what did you like doing as a kid?
Yeah.
That's the thing that you should be doing.
Totally. And I remember hearing somewhere that whatever you could do for hours on end and you felt like no time had passed at all, like that's what you should be doing.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, remember like recording myself and filming myself and my friends and like all these things. We would just spend days on end doing this stuff. And I was like, that's it, man. Like, that's what it's always been.
So you're working on a project right now with Michael Phyllis.
I am.
That's so crazy. I
was going to ask if you knew him, actually.
Yes,
I figured you did.
No,
okay,
I just saw him last...
including
just
the
saw,
audience
oh.
and me.
Oh, hi, Aneke.
Okay,
yeah, girl. I see you, too.
I just saw Michael Phyllis on the dance floor last night after my show.
That's awesome.
Michael Phyllis, he's a writer.
Yep.
He's a writer here. He actually started Baloney, which is the all gay male review, which I was on the original cast of
Awesome.
The Baloney Boys.
Oh, excuse.
The original Baloney Boys.
Coming up in a couple weeks, right?
The new one's up.
Yeah.
I'm not in it. I'm still in a sabbatical.
Got it.
I can only
shake
my...
You're just resting your G-string.
Baloney Boys can't just go.
We can't. We
gotta
take a break. I can only shake my wang for so long.
It's true.
Is that what we call it? Is
sure.
that still it?
I'll take it.
Can I Snapchat that to you?
No.
Okay. But you know Michael Phyllis, and you're working on a project with him.
I do.
What's the project?
Yeah. So it's... I'm not sure if I can... Well, he's been
Hint
working on
it.
A web series.
Right. Yes. Which is so exciting. I saw you in that photo. I was like, And my friend Tim.
And that's what I was doing in the photo.
You were. And my roommate and really good friend Tim is also involved in the project.
Yes. Yeah. We sat next to each other.
I saw that.
He was amazing.
Yeah. Tim's delightful. Hi, Tim.
Oh,
shout
I was
out.
Trying so hard not to laugh the whole time Tim was reading his part. And Michael and I actually both perform with Killing My Lobster, too.
Right.
So that's kind of how those
how
worlds
that, yeah.
And
collided.
So for everybody to know, Killing My Lobster is a...
Yeah. It's a sketch comedy group that's been around for 20 years just about here.
It's
in San Francisco.
A legend. It's a staple.
Yeah.
So
it
that's fucking awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So what else is going on with you coming down the pipeline?
Yeah. So I've been working actually on my own series, and I'll go ahead and give that a little plug.
Yeah. I'm so glad. I'm so excited.
And I can talk about it a little bit.
Yeah please
so,
do.
So it's called Nice Tan, and I've always wanted to do like a video sketch comedy series. Always, like since I was a kid and fell in love with SNL.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I had been thinking for years about what could this be if I actually jumped off the cliff and did it. And a lot of it goes back to some of my experiences working in tech, my experiences being at UC Santa Cruz, my experiences growing up as a kid of being the only in a lot of situations.
Yes.
And people not really... knowing what to make of that.
Yeah.
And San Francisco, you know, as we all know, is a rapidly dwindling Black population. So often I find myself in scenarios where I'm the only one and people will compliment me on my tan.
Oh my
Lord. I have had the words nice tan.
I'm dying.
Uttered to me more times. I mean, even in the last couple weeks, somebody was like, you have a really nice tan. Or I was at a workout class and the instructor was like, oh, you don't want to work out under that skylight. You might get a tan. And I was like, girl, have we met? Like, do you see my situation here? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I feel like they don't know what to do with Black people in this
state.
They don't.
It's so
crazy.
It's similar, I feel like, with, like, you know, with Portland. Like, when they don't see other races, they don't know what to do with it. And so they don't understand. They're like, oh, they don't understand racism because they're not confronted with it in like a strong way or like a person where they would have to react to it directly.
Yeah.
Or just treat, I don't know, us like people. Like,
but they don't get it because they don't understand. They don't understand how that works because they only see us and like we're unicorns. We're magical unicorns.
That's true. Yes. Right. I know.
Yeah. So I had this experience where I was in a locker room naked, as one is in a locker room.
It happens.
And this woman came up from behind and aggressively was like, nice tan. Hey, where'd you get your tan? And it's like that situation where you stand there and it feels like an eternity and you're racking your brain like, do I say something witty? Do I say something truthful? How do I even respond to this once I realized she was talking to me and not someone else?
Yeah, where do you go from there?
Right.
And I was like, my parents? Oh, and that was good response. Good.
The best. That's
the best.
And then,
of course, for like a month after that, I would like lay in bed awake at night being like, what could I have said? What could I have said? What would have been funnier?
No, but that was the best.
That was it. That's all I got. My parents.
That is, for one, amazing comeback. But then also look at the, like, I'm not going to say, like, being a person of color, being an only, especially here in, like, you know, San Francisco, like, the constant thought process and energy that it takes to be us, like, you know, that we have to go through.
It's exhausting.
When you're the,
we're thinking about
time,
it. Yes.
All the time.
I
all
know.
The time. It affects everything. And so those of you, like, when you just see us as one of the only, be aware that we have an entire different experience that's happening. Just be aware of that.
It's like we are the only and we know it and we're thinking about it and we are constantly black. That's basically who we are.
Yeah.
And I love this that you're putting it in a comedic light, you know, too.
But that's the coping mechanism. I mean, that's how I've always coped with stuff is through comedy, as you know, as dark as the comedy angle may be. Like that's it. So what I really wanted to do, you know, in thinking about all of this was try and create, you know, there's also an issue with diversity in sketch comedy.
Completely.
God, I've been in a sketch comedy troupe before and it's like, okay, who's gonna play Obama? Like,
guess it's you. And you're like, I don't
have
an Obama.
I don't. He was more like Bill Cosby than anything else.
Oh, man. Well, wait,
I
really am excited about one aspect that's coming up for you that we need to plug.
Okay.
You are performing at Cobb's Comedy Club.
Yes, that's another
story. That's huge. When is this happening?
Yes, tell us
dates.
Okay, so October 2nd, I'll be doing stand-up for the second time in my life.
That's fantastic.
Right,
ever.
That's so great.
At Cobb's here in San Francisco at 7:30. So the show is being hosted by Kabir Singh, who's a great stand-up comic. He's awesome. And he's doing basically like a showcase of new talent. It's called The Future of Comedy. So there's a lot of like new talent here in the Bay Area that he's featuring. And so, yeah, he saw my set this past month.
Which was amazing.
Yay.
Radio. And I'm booked for the show, so
that's
I'll be
fantastic.
There. Come on out. It'll be fun. Who knows what will happen.
That's why you gotta go.
I know, you gotta do it.
Yeah, I mean, flying by the seat of my pants, so.
Y'all need to go out and support this amazing human being that is right before me. This is amazing.
It's so good.
I'll be in New York officially that day.
Oh,
but
we'll Skype you
We're gonna send half a Minority Corner there.
Excellent.
I just volunteered her. She's like, I have a library tour.
And then he's like, I listen
tour.
To Carla's show all the time. I've heard it all. I've heard all the bits.
That's why we want you on this podcast to promote it.
And thank you for just coming on. And like, it's great to, we talk about this shit all the time. And so it's great to like, have someone else come in and just be like, oh yeah, y'all are talking about the real things.
Exactly.
There's someone else who's experiencing the same, you know, frustrations or experiences. And I love that what you're channeling it. It's a very, you know, positive way of taking this in a way to heal from the hurt, laughter and comedy. And it's a great way people are actually, people enjoy learning while laughing.
Yeah, I mean,
learn, laugh, and play, as we say here in Minority Corner.
Right.
Way
seriously.
To plug your own show on our show.
On our show. That's what
like,
you gotta do.
It's like I'm Christina Aguilera plugging The Voice.
Right.
My voice.
Well, I think, you know, I'm excited to have featured diverse talent because there's so much great talent here in the Bay Area. I'm excited to have a show that is really rooted in the Bay Area and like identifiable as being taking place in the Bay Area. Yeah, so diverse casting is going to be a really big thing. And then also social commentary, but without being too heavy-handed. Like, that's really the goal of the show, is to bring people into the conversation and, like, laugh with us and also maybe, like, reflect on yourself a little bit.
Exactly!
And, like, and it's also not to say that, like, some of the characters that we play, that the minority folks play in the show are above it all. Like, we're all fucking up too, just as much as everybody else.
Exactly.
So it's just looking at yourself and being like, God damn, like, what are we
and
doing?
And allowing
here?
Us to be involved in the conversation to be able to
prominently.
You're building a table and allowing all these folks to come out to the table and to be on it. So I'm so excited.
Yay.
I would love to if you ever need a little, you know.
Oh, we always need a
little.
Oh,
yeah, we always need a little.
A little
Jane.
We need a lot.
I've got many different characters I can can do.
Can you do an Obama?
My great American.
No, that's Jennifer Hudson. Oh, that's your Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah, that's spot on. Okay. That's really good.
I've been really working on it. Sometimes I can tell. A lot of times people are just like, is Jennifer Hudson there?
And you're like, no, it's me, James.
Rashir Khan.
Right now.
She's right here. Thanks so much for coming by the Minority Corner.
Come back anytime.
Yes. Oh my God, this is so fun. Yes. And can I also quickly plug?
Please.
In November, the weekend before the election, and actually on Election Day, Killing My Lobster is going to be doing an election show that I'll be in, which will be super fun.
Hell yeah.
Highly relevant, and I'm very excited about that as well.
Yay!
So
fantastic.
Awesome. Okay, so see what we're doing.
Killing My Lobster in November.
Yeah.
Election Day. We got Cobb's Comedy Club on October 2nd.
That's right.
And everybody look out for Nice Tan Comedy.
It's coming.
On Facebook. Coming. Like the
page.
Yeah,
find us, look for Nice Tan on Facebook. Come join us, see what we're up to. There's some really great things coming. So yeah.
Thank you so much, Carla.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you soon.
All right.
Yay.
Hi, are you a fan of Star Trek The Next Generation? Well, that's weird because it's a corny show. But my friends Ben Harrison and Adam Pranica do a lovely podcast about it. It's called The Greatest Generation and it's on MaximumFun.org. I thought that this podcast was a bad idea, but I was wrong. Please listen to The Greatest Generation on MaximumFun.org.
I gave you just a classic 1, 2, 3 go, nice, slow. I had some eye contact.
I feel very supported right now. You're like a bra to me right now.
Like a bra? Like hey, bra.
No, like a bra is your support and lift and separate.
I will bra you anytime.
Same here. We're bras. This is a clumsy one.
Weird.
It's clumsy.
You're my bra.
Okay.
Wait, when guys say that to each other, is that what they mean?
Hey,
that's my bra.
I'm not a bra. I'm into that.
If that's what guys are saying, I'm
then that's
into
nice.
That.
I like it
because that's very like it's embracing like you know
feminine culture,
yeah.
Which is so opposed to
you uplift me and support me
and separate
in the places I need to be separated.
I love it.
And if my nipples get hard,
you pat it out, or you expose it depending on the bra that you want to wear.
Depending on the mood I'm in. Thanks, bra.
So okay,
you my bra.
I want to read something.
Nike's hand is raised. I'm gonna call on you, girl with the hoop earrings.
Thank you, Professor Arthur.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Oh, I took a turn. Okay. You know what power does to me.
I know.
All right, we got some shout outs.
Okay, so I want to read this thing because we're getting a lot of activity on our Facebook page.
We're loving it. You're got involved in the conversation.
You are involved.
Lily Tomlin would be impressed.
To all those who have binged our earlier episodes.
You'll understand that one.
So we got this really long, interesting post from a listener, Corinne Reyes. I asked her if I could write this, and she was like, exactly.
Yes.
It's about the Chicano moratorium piece.
You said it correctly.
Yay!
It's a hard word to say.
It is.
3 episodes later,
God damn
you're
it.
On it. It's
finally,
good.
I've been practicing at home, staring dead eye contact in the mirror, just like repeating it over and over and over again. Moratorium.
WWTD.
What would Tyra do? She would scream at me.
Probably.
And like,
she'd be like, okay, I'm embarrassed for you.
I was rooting for you.
You know what also we need to live by is WWTATD.
What's that?
What would Tiffany Amber Thiessen do?
I don't give a fuck.
Well, I do. Okay.
Okay.
But continue on about this Chicago moratorium. And you know who else cares?
Who?
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
What is she doing?
Listening to this podcast.
If she is, I love you.
Yeah, now, okay. Yeah. You have your enemies, now I have mine.
I know, Jennifer Hudson and Tiffany Amber Thiessen. I don't hate her. All right, so, Corinne Reyes, she wrote, okay, she goes, hey guys, love this episode, just wanted to point out one thing regarding the Chicano piece. As a black Hispanic, it irks me when all Hispanics are lumped together as one cohesive ethnic group when we are not. I'm mildly irritated by the term brown people. I do not consider Hispanic a race, simply an ethnicity that defines people from countries colonized by Spain. Within our own countries, there is divisions of black people and white people, with, of course, the associated racism. Mexicans are almost the only ethnic group that considers themselves one unified race. So when we talk about Hispanic issues, such as this one, you really are only referring to Mexicans and not the rest of us. We have our own independent issues. The term brown people, in my opinion, attempts to negate my blackness. So many times people have told me things to the effect of, well, you're not really black, as if that's some badge of honor. So every time I hear brown people, I just get reminded of how Hispanic people so dearly want to erase their blackness. Something to consider. Sorry for my rant. Don't apologize for your rant,
girl! First of all, I hate the word rant. As we know, because you would do this too, you'd be like, "I'm ranting," and I'm like, "No, you're expressing an opinion and thought." I appreciate, like, you know, your personal, and I think that's the thing is about with all of these things that they're all personal struggles and journeys. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting too is that, like, I have people who are Indian Americans,
mm-hmm,
who consider themselves brown folks.
Mm.
So, like, and I know Filipino folks who consider themselves brown folks.
Right.
So I think, like, it's interesting, like, that, and it's also, like, how we want to personally identify.
Right.
It's the same way, like, there's certain, like, gender pronouns that certain people are comfortable with or whatnot.
Right.
And I think that's totally okay for you to not want to identify that
way.
Exactly. There are people who do.
I just thought that, you know, it's a cool opinion, and since we're, you know, the minority corner expressing different opinions, a lot of times we get lumped into having the same opinion about ourselves,
right? Yeah.
Because we're not the majority. So I think it's wonderful that we all have separate opinions and separate thoughts and views on things.
Yeah.
That, yeah, we're a group of wonderful, diverse people
mm-hmm
of color,
mm-hmm,
doesn't mean that we're just one group of people.
Totally. And I think, like, I absolutely respect that. And I think, again, checking in with different people and seeing how different folks like to identify.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer the term black as opposed to African American.
Me too.
Because it just encompasses more of my heritage.
And
it's
not
more broadening.
So clinical.
Yeah. And but there's some people who maybe
that's true.
Prefer
some people
that.
Like it.
Some people still love the Afro-American thing, and that's your thing.
That's from the
80s.
For it. That is from
they
the
rock
80s.
And, they go rough and stuff with their Afro
they
pop.
They do. I'm okay with it.
So I'm not mad at you.
It's
so,
true.
However you want to identify. And I think also to be respectful of how you may want to identify some way and someone else wants to identify in a different way. And I think continuing to be respectful of that.
Right. Always just be nice and explain it in a way that is relatable and not interrogative.
You want to be a unicorn, be a unicorn. And before we leave for today's episode, I was researching why we don't ride zebras.
Why don't we ride zebras? Because they're donkey?
No, I didn't
finish. Do we ride donkeys?
I didn't. Yes, we do.
Oh.
So I didn't finish watching. There's a YouTube documentary, if you're curious. I fell asleep.
What?
This was, it helps me fall asleep.
What does this have to do? Okay, I'm listening.
Because zebras are both black and white.
Oh my God. All right.
And it just came to my head and I wanted to share.
You're ridiculous.
So you, because there was a game show where they were petting zebras. Oh, what's her face from the Olympics?
Simone Biles?
And there was this game show with that British guy, the late night guy, and they were
James
like,
Corden?
What am I rubbing up on?
And what is happening?
It turns out it was a zebra, as he says.
Oh, because of Zed.
Mm-hmm.
But so, why don't we ride zebras?
I didn't finish the documentary, but I think it's because they're hard to domesticate or something, where horses, like, they're into it.
Wild
zebras. And next time you see me, I want to be riding in
on
naked
a zebra?
On a zebra.
That's going to be a lot of look. That's a whole lot of look.
With some boots.
Oh, what's that? Ankle boots? Mm. Thigh-high boots?
Your guess, as good as mine.
Rain
I'm
boots?
Gonna surprise you.
Some galoshes?
I hate galoshes.
Why do you hate galoshes?
I feverishly hate them.
Why?
Hideous.
They're not that
plastic.
Bad.
Plastic.
Yes.
Done.
What if you need to galosh?
You don't. Never.
Don't galosh.
I'm like almost angry. I'm gonna storm out of the episode
because of the galoshes.
I just hate them. They're ugly. Anyways, we had a great episode today.
So good.
So much. We talked about casting. We talked about black female physicists who are also Nubian
yes.
princesses.
Yes.
Zebras. You're my bra. Thank you, Carla, for being on the show.
Carla!
What a great, she had so much to say.
You are the
loved
best.
It.
Thank you for coming.
She was wonderful. She's also my bra.
She's both of our bras.
She supports
just,
us.
Just me and you
she
two
lifts.
Boobs that she's just lifting up.
I hope she names her boobs after us. Is that too much?
James and Aneke.
James and Aneke. Dibs on the left.
One's older.
One's younger. And a man. Well, that got weird. Well, thanks
oh,
so
wait,
much.
Wait. Yes. Facebook, Minority Corner with a K. Keep engaging us. We love it. Twitter us.
Tweet at us. Twat at us. Snapchat us. You can even send the dick pics. To...
Nope. Okay. I don't want it. I don't
but
want
take
it.
Take pictures of you watching Quantico. We're into it.
Yeah, I guess. Or Homeland. Or Scandal. That's where we
I'll
come
meet
together.
You in the middle.
That's where we come together.
Okay. See you next week, y'all.
Bye.
Hey there, European Max Funsters. Do not miss your chance to catch some of your favorite Max Fun shows live at the London Podcast Festival, September 22nd through 26th. See amazing guests like Armando Iannucci, Josie Long, and Romare on stage with Jesse Thorne during Bullseye, bust a gut at classic panel show hijinks with International Waters, and witness some tough but fair internet justice dispensed by Judge John Hodgman himself. The Beef and Dairy Network show is already sold out, but hey, at least you can enjoy being in the proximity of the premier expert on beef animals and dairy herds, right? More guests will be announced soon and tickets are going fast. Go to MaximumFun.org for tickets right now so you don't live a life steeped in regret.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.